Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush.
3, 2, 1, boom.
On deck established.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
Two Out of Bounds, William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We're live in the Blue Ridge Security Solutions studios. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Check them out today for all your security needs. Home business time out of Blue Ridge. Going to hook you up. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Seminole Tech gets in on the text line. 961-566 says, if Florida lost in the World Series, I said a coach would probably come to South Carolina. But now that he won the national championship, he'll stay in Florida. That seems to be probably the most likely scenario. Unless that family stuff that we've been talking about, if that's the most important thing, then you don't have any professional regrets at Florida. You can walk away from there knowing that you did everything that you set out to do there. Won the SEC, made it to the College World Series, made it to the Final Series, won it. Now you've done everything. Can't possibly do anything else. This hour of the program is brought to you by our friends at First Team Sports. Go by and see them. They have, I was listening to actually your recorded spot on this. They have varsity jackets they do now too, along with the uniform stuff, the jersey stuff. That's impressive. You can't just get a varsity jacket anywhere. There's only a few places to make them. First Team Sports is in that biz now. They've also got great deals on your baseball equipment for your travel ball. Baseball, softball. They've got the try before you buy policy, which is amazing. We know firsthand how great that is. The opportunity to get in a cage and try out the equipment. Also, again, a clearance rack is full of stuff that's not, it shouldn't even be on a clearance rack, but they do it anyway. Because they enjoy making your life a little bit easier and saving you a little bit of money. Getting ready for football, they got you covered there too. Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville. Go see our friends at First Team Sports. The one SEC team I have on here that you don't have on your list, and I'm not, I think this is nostalgic for me. And I mean, I have a reason it fits.
Don't say what I think it's mostly
nostalgic. It's Tennessee.
Huh.
Now, one of the things that I used, one of the criteria I used was that a coach would leave a good job to take that job. I'm not sure if that's the case or not with Tennessee. But I do think that Tennessee, would you agree with this? They get the benefit of the doubt aside of all reason. They get the benefit of the doubt. They have made two bad hires. After letting Philip Fulmer go when they won double-digit games 3 out of 5 years, they had a 5-7 season, let him go. Since that point, they've won 7-6, 5-5, 5-7, and then 9-9 with Butch Jones. Now, if Butch Jones can consistently win 9 games at Tennessee, that's the kind of program that fits on this list, in my opinion, if he can do that.
If this was 2004 and you had had 10 wins, 10, 8, 11, 8, 9, 13, 11, 10, 11, all the way back to 95, yeah. Then yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But it's just because of how Tennessee football is viewed right now.
They get the benefit of the doubt, though, right?
Yeah, and respected. I mean, I guess they are respected. But we're far removed from the Philip Fulmer days and even the good Philip Fulmer days. So I just don't know if I can put Tennessee on there. I'm going to have this tough debate when it comes to two Pac-12 schools.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm going to put a few of these Pac-12 schools on there, then I can kind of justify you putting Tennessee on there. I get that. But I just think, look, even if it was just 2008 or 2009, because you wouldn't be too far removed from their success, I would say go for it. But right now, when you haven't won double-digit games since 07, it's really tough for me to put them on there.
You know what's fun is that I did not put Miami on here. You could say a lot of the same things about Miami that you could about Tennessee. Although, Miami, you could say, had a more stable, whenever they got to the top, they stayed there. It was a little more stable. It wasn't as sporadic. And since 2003, since they joined the ACC, they've never won 10 games.
That's what I'm saying.
In the current paradigm. They've played 13 seasons.
The key for me is, what year is it? You know? Have you been relevant during current recruits' lifetimes that they can remember you actually competing for championships? And the answer with Tennessee is kind of no, because last time they won 10 games was 07.
Yeah.
Some of these recruits now are 7 years old.
That was three coaches ago.
Right. And the Lane Kiffin debacle. That was, there's no other way to describe it besides debacle.
It was. I mean, I could see leaving Tennessee off this list. I don't know. I felt like Tennessee was ahead of Miami in terms of today, in terms of programs.
Yeah. When you're going SEC, I don't even put Tennessee in my top five.
I don't know. Alabama.
LSU. I have Florida, Auburn, Georgia.
Georgia, and Tennessee. Yeah. I mean, you could make an argument for a team like, I mean, if you don't go back too far, you can make an argument for a team like Arkansas. Well, during the Houston Nutt years and a little bit of Petrino.
There are a few other teams that have been more relevant recently to Tennessee in that league.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Texas A&M, and I'm talking about South Carolina, that have actually competed for championships more recently than Tennessee.
That's a fair point.
Mississippi State. Has competed for championships more recently than Tennessee.
Ole Miss has had better success against Alabama the last 8 years than Tennessee has. And when did Tennessee and Alabama hate each other?
Tennessee, I mean, you got to beat Florida. You got to beat Florida at least once for you to maybe sniff this list.
They're never beating Florida. That's going to be like Clemson to Dean Dome. We have Andrew Whitman coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes from now. Also, we have a $25 gift card to the Butcher's Block that we're going to give away as well. We have not, and people are asking, have you gotten to these teams? Are these teams in it? We're still working through this. There are a lot of teams still to go through in this respected tier, this third tier. I'm sure we're going to get to insert your team name here at some point if you think it's in there. And if not, we'll go through some of the ones that missed like we just did for Miami.
Or call us up and tell us why we missed, wrong for your team.
That's right. Did they beat Florida last year?
Tennessee? No.
Didn't they blow the big lead?
Yeah.
They blew it. Yeah, they got way up and then blew the lead.
Florida beat them in Neyland Stadium.
Huh.
Is that wrong, Sanders?
Is that right?
Tennessee won.
Tennessee won. They came back on Florida.
They haven't beat Florida in Florida in a long time.
Tennessee won last year against Florida?
Florida blew the big lead.
That game was weird.
Yeah, so Florida did get up early. Lead. That's
Tennessee
right.
Tennessee came back okay. way late.
And we were all singing the praises of, Tennessee
Neyland
can't
Stadium
beat Florida.
Was about as rocking as it has been.
That's
in
true.
About
all right.
Years.
They haven't beaten Alabama in how many years?
Oh, they haven't beat Alabama in a long time.
Yeah, long ages. Time. All right, story. I apologize, Big Orange Nation. I apologize.
Before that, they hadn't beaten Florida since 2004.
Well,
and they had been blown out a bunch of those times, like double digits most
Sanders,
of those.
Thank you for keeping us
games.
Honest.
Yeah, you're
I
fine.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. All good.
You're like the guy at the end of PTI that corrects us.
It's the fact checker. Yeah.
Yeah. Where were we wrong? Go.
We're just spreading fake news. There's nothing wrong with a little fake news.
No,
a Wednesday.
Not in this world.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cut this list down a little bit, y'all, and it's all baseball today. We got one guy that tweets us, and he's like, "Oh, this is just the baseball segment every day." Well, you know what, buddy? Here it is, baseball stock watch.
Who's got worth this week? It's time for the stock watch on Out of Bounds.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. I don't know where you get your information, son, but I don't like it. Well, life all comes down to a few moments. This is one of them.
Roller coaster, ups and downs, you know that.
Not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
I mean, what else is even happening right now? If I could tell you about some horse race going on in Podunk, Kansas somewhere tonight or some dirt track, I'm not doing that. We're going baseball. Stock up to Wilson Contreras. He's going to be seeing more innings behind the plate for the Cubbies, your former Cubbies. Is there a situation where you would get back on the Cubs bandwagon? Is there any reason you would do that?
If they make the World Series again.
So you would wait all the way to the end, all the way to the World Series to get back on the bandwagon?
I mean, it's tough because the Stros and the Cubbies they're not in the same league.
No.
Right.
They could play each other.
So I can root for each to do well in the playoffs, and then hopefully it ends up being a Cubs-Astros World Series, then that would be a really tough one for me.
Well, the Cubs are tied in a loss column with the Brewers. They're down 2 in the win column, so that's one game. And they just made a personnel change, a big one. Because Miguel Montero started behind the plate last night. The Washington Nationals stole 7 bases, including 4 from Trey Turner. And the Cubs designated Montero for assignment. Now, this is a drastic move. Drastic move, in my estimation, because Montero, rarely do you see teams start a guy, start him a bunch, and then designate for assignment the next day. But this was not an ordinary situation. Stock down to Miguel Montero, because after the game, Montero, who allowed 7 stolen bases along with Jake Arrieta, who did not pitch well and, in fact, was responsible because he was slow to the plate for 7 stolen bases. He said, quote, "That's the reason they were running left to right today, because they were slow to the plate." Now, he's talking about Arrieta. Simple as that. "It's a shame it's my fault because I didn't throw anyone out. It really sucked because the stolen bases go on me. But when you look at it, the pitcher doesn't give me any time. So, yeah, Miggy can't throw anyone out, but my pitchers don't hold anyone on." Close quote. You don't rip guys like that. Montero has been kind of a lightning rod. He questioned Joe Maddon's tactics, and Anthony Rizzo wasn't happy. He heard about Montero's comments, and he said, quote, "We win as a team, we lose as a team. If you start pointing fingers, that just labels you as a selfish player. I disagree. We have another catcher who throws out everyone who steals, and he catches John Lester, who doesn't pick over. It's no secret. Going to the media with things like that, I don't think it's very professional." Close quote. Now, you could argue Rizzo did exactly the same thing he's ripping Montero for. But get this. Contreras, 34% of his base dealers he throws out. All right, that's pretty good. Anything about 35% is pretty good. Anything over that is really, really good. 40%, you're basically best in baseball. All right? Miguel Montero, I think I'm right by saying this, 0 for 31. So was it the pitcher's fault all year when he hadn't thrown anyone out? Guys had attempted 31 bases against him and stole them all. That's impossible. You're a bad catcher. If you're 0 for 30, it ain't the pitcher's fault 31 times there, bucko. Good luck finding work. Not throwing a single base stealer out. When word gets out, it gets out. And Trey Turner feasted. 4 steals? You got to be kidding me. Stock down to him. Also, for running his mouth. Stop running your mouth. You can't throw anybody out. Stock up to Sean Newcomb. First career win last night for the Braves. Little shutout in San Diego against the Pods. Your San Diego Padres. I say that just because you were in San Diego a couple weeks ago. The Braves are playing much better baseball. We've talked about it. We're going to have to eventually try to figure out if they have even a realistic shot to make the playoffs. We'll do that maybe a little bit later this week, because the halfway point of the Major League season is coming up on Sunday, which is coincidentally a big day for you. The Braves win 3-0. Sean Newcomb, brilliant. 6 innings, 6 hits, scattered them. Very, very good. The bullpen was good in holding the lead. Nick Markakis, a couple of hits. Not a whole lot of offense, but Newcomb's a good, strong, young piece for the Bravos. Good, strong, young piece. I'm a big fan of his moving forward. In his time in the big leagues this year, 24 and a third innings, he's given up 5 runs, 4 earned on 18 hits with 8 walks and 21 strikeouts. He's got a 1.48 ERA. He's lasted at least 6 innings in all 4 of his big league starts, and all of them have been quality starts. So this is somebody the Braves can build around. Now, he's going to get rocked, you know, from time to time, once or twice. But I like, if you're a Braves fan, you can be excited about Sean Newcomb. Stock down to Robert Gsellman. No one knows who Gsellman is. He's one of the guys that the Mets brought up. He's hurt. So basically every pitcher the Mets have is hurt. And now some of their broadcasters and radio people and media people in New York are ripping them and ripping baseball. Ron Darling, a former big league pitcher, says that baseball's got a problem. They need to quit lifting weights so much. Well, guys, I go read the quote. I'm not going to. Gsellman hurt himself going to cover first base. Then he hurt his hamstring. The Mets have put 15 guys on the disabled list, including 5 pitchers. That feels like a lot. Darling says it's because they lift weights too much. They're not taking good care of their bodies. And we know if a pitcher doesn't get hurt in his start, he's probably going to get hurt the next one. That's what it feels like. Everybody gets hurt. If it's Blister Boy, Rich Hill, or it's anybody from the Mets, It just kind of feels like that's what's happening. So stock down to him and stock down to the Mets for constantly having pitchers hurt. My Reds, we agree with that assessment. It hurts to have a pitcher hurt every time he throws. Stock up to the Red Sox. They went through like an hour and 15-minute rain delay last night, kept the starting pitcher out, Drew Pomeranz, who was brilliant. They went 9-1 going away against the Twins, who didn't have that same luxury. They are now in first place in the American League East, and stock down to the team they replaced, the New York Yankees, who have lost, I think, 8 of 9 or something like that. 7 of 9, 6 of 9, something. They've lost a bunch. They're like 3-11, I think, their last 14. I think I saw that one. They lost last night against the White Sox without using Aroldis Chapman. He just sat there in a safe situation while the bullpen walked 100 guys in the last two innings and gave up a bunch of runs. It was a disaster. Hit by pitches, wild pitches, walks. Barely anybody got a hit till Jose Abreu drove in 2 runs with a game-winning single. Hideous from Joe Girardi and the Yankees last night in the bullpen. Stock up to the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks win again last night. Extras coming from behind against the dirty, cheating Cardinals. They're now in second place in the best division in baseball, that National League West, where the San Francisco Giants are now 23.5 games out of first. Dodgers at 52-27, but the Diamondbacks, the longest current active win streak in baseball at 4. Longest active losing streak in baseball, stock down to the Rockies. The Rockies are 47-33. This is why the Braves can make the playoffs, because the Rockies may never win again. They may not win another game for as long as we both, as long as all of us are paying attention. For as long as Kelly Gramlich stays awake this segment. The Rockies may never win again. They're getting destroyed by 10. They lost 4-3 last night. But besides that, the previous 6 games, they've lost them all by 4 runs or more. They have been dump trucked in the last week. So stock down to Colorado, who's still in third place, but still. They have gone from the darlings to a team who can't pitch, and now they really can't score. They've only scored more than 3 runs twice in a 7-game losing streak, but they're getting destroyed. Their pitching staff is horrendous currently. And that's our Out of Bounds Stock Watch today. Thanks for allowing me some baseball talk. We'll get back to a little football when we return. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
Finding great candidates to hire can be, well, like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is different. It doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. With its powerful technology, ZipRecruiter distributes your job everywhere it needs to be to find the right candidates. In fact, over 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just one day. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, only ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
Used by businesses of all sizes, ZipRecruiter offers the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/score. That's ZipRecruiter.com/score for your free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/score.
CMH Services is South Carolina's source for new Crown and Unicarriers forklifts, used forklifts, and forklift parts, service, and rentals. CMH offers a complete line of material handling solutions for every application. CMH is dedicated to providing their customers the equipment, knowledge, and support they need to make every operation a total success. Locally owned since 1968. Call 800-922-9569 to find out more, or go online cmhservices.net. That's cmhservices.net.
Rely on EnviroMulch. They supply quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their spring special, get double ground hardwood mulch for $1 off per yard. Ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply. From your friends at EnviroMulch, go Tigers!
Do you have standing water around your home? Well, it's probably also underneath your home. Standing water and musty air can cause damage to your home and affect the air you breathe. Canty Foundation Specialists can help you correct these problems. Standing water causes wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew. Call Canty Foundation Specialist for drier, cleaner air and a more comfortable home all year long. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
It's summertime, and that means outdoor staining with Palmetto Paints. Flood brand exterior stains are available in solid color and semi-transparent products that can be tinted to almost any color. Use it on decks, fences, and siding to beautify and offer years of protection. Trust Flood products to deliver consistent quality results. Available at Palmetto Paints. Now get a $5 per gallon rebate up to 10 gallons through July 8th. Stain the right way at Palmetto Paints at Thornblade Commons next to Marco's Pizza.
Elkmont Trading Company in Clemson is your locally owned outfitter, women's boutique, shoe store, gourmet foods and home goods store. From candles and dresses to tents and fly fishing gear, Elkmont has it. Elkmont offers clothing and gear for an outdoor lifestyle, so come in and get ready for summer with a stand-up paddleboard or kayak from Jackson, Perception, or Wilderness Systems. Elkmont has the area's best selection and rentals for you to try before you buy. But folks, you already know all this about Elkmont, but what you might not know is that they have recently opened a craft beer bar and restaurant featuring 16 taps of the area's best locally crafted beer and great food as well. Craft beer, excellent food, all that's missing is you. Elkmont is located at the Highway 93 exit off Highway 123 across from Bojangles. And remember folks, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
They never lose their cool.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Don't be so quick to walk away. It's me. I want to rock your body. Please stay. It's me. You don't have to admit you. Let me rock you to the break of day. It's me. Got time, but I don't mind. Just wanna rock you, girl. I'll have whatever you have. Come on, let's give it a whirl. So I've been watching you. I like the way you move. So go ahead, girl, just do that ass shaking thing you do. So you grab your girls and you grab a couple more, and you all can meet me in the middle of the floor. So the air is thick.
I just said the worst thing a person can do. I've got a Chick-fil-A here, and I ran out of water. Oh, I thought you were referring like, to... I ran out of water. Something else. No. Legitimately, I'm trying to come back, but like it's stuck in my throat. Hour two, Out of Bounds, William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. Stock Watch, brought to you by our friends at Monahan Company Real Estate. If you consider a new home this year, one of the first steps to assess your finances, the professionals at Monahan Company Real Estate can help. Call them at 639-1188. Good stuff. I just need more water. I just need more water. I feel like a fish or something. Back to the football discussion. The three tiers of program. See what I'm talking about? Three tiers of programs. Before we get back to the tiers discussion, can we get to some of these texts on the tiers? Because I think some people have some thoughts as to how we are grouping these. Tyler and Anderson gets in and says, is Oklahoma State not in any of your tiers? May have missed it. We'll get to that. It might be in our respected list. I have some thoughts on Oklahoma State. We'll get to that one. And then someone gets in here, Michael from Liberty. Okay, he says, how can you have Auburn in the elite category and not include Georgia? Auburn has only beaten Georgia two times in the past 12 years. How can they be ahead of UGA? And LSU has had a worse record than Georgia over the past 10 years. Yeah, they are elite. I disagree. If you include those schools, then you should include UGA. That's Michael from Liberty. I think the main thing here that you and I alluded to yesterday is national championship wins and national championship appearances. That's the big deal for me. Like I've said, that's one of my main criteria. I think that separates the elite from the respected. And even though Georgia has been in the hunt, they've been in the discussion. They haven't played for a national title like Florida has, like LSU has, like Auburn has the past decade, the past two decades, and they haven't won one. And so that's the big thing for me with UGA. I get the pushback on Georgia, but they haven't won a national title since the 80s. And that's just kind of the main thing for me with Georgia. I can't put Georgia in a better tier than where they are. I barely put them in this one. They went from this is where some of the like where you are right now is really important. They went from a coach that was winning 10 games every year, and the first
The first year with their new coach, they won 8. They're recruiting well, and what I love hearing people say is, boy, Kirby Smart's recruiting great. Like, Mark Richt wasn't recruiting great. You know?
Like we've said before, a chimpanzee could recruit well at Georgia.
Mark Richt was recruiting great.
You walk out your door, and they're all there.
I mean, it's not like Hugh Freeze just showed up and started randomly popping guys over to Ole Miss, you know? Mark Richt was recruiting top 5 classes, top 10 classes every year, and winning 10 ball games. And they went away from him to something worse, which is what a lot of these schools do when they feel like they've plateaued. They go to something worse. You never fire 9-win coaches. You don't fire Mark Richt. You get an 8-win coach like Kirby Smart.
And I think part of the discussion, when we talked about Clemson, I mean, before this national title, even though Clemson has obviously been more elite than Georgia, I would say in the long run over the past 5 years,
mm-hmm.
even though they've split the head-to-head matchups, the big difference for Clemson that really got them over the hump was, yes, the national championship appearance in 2015, but the national title in 2016. That's what gets you over the hump and back to elite status. Georgia and Clemson were in the same boat. They both hadn't won a national title since the 80s. 80 for Georgia, 81 for Clemson. The difference there is that Clemson has now won one in this modern era, and Georgia cannot say that.
Correct. Georgia can't say they've won. When's the last time Georgia won anything? When's the last time they won a trophy from anything other than a bowl?
Oh, 03?
Like 15 years. I mean, it had to be 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
They won anything. Is that true?
I'm pretty sure it was 02. Pretty sure it was 02.
This is exactly the kind of program that this third tier was made for.
Here's my point. If I can't remember the last time you won your conference, you don't get to be in the elite category.
Was David Pollack playing?
Yeah, big David Pollack.
02?
That was when David Pollack was a big boy.
It might have been 02. Let me see. I'm pretty sure 02 they won the league.
Yeah, 02 they were 13-1 under Mark Richt, won the Sugar Bowl. That was the year they competed for a national title. They were very much in the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they did. They won the SEC 32-3. They beat Arkansas and then beat Florida State in the Sugar Bowl. They were really good. That was the year they played South Carolina and Pollack. Didn't he intercept the pass in the end zone? Like took it out of guy's hand, intercepted in the end zone.
They also won in 05.
Okay,
they won in 05. So it's been. Did they? I didn't remember that.
Who'd they beat in the SEC title in 05?
They beat LSU 34-14.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Number 3 LSU.
See, but I mean, that's my point. The last time you won a conference title was 12 years ago. Again, not a relevant title for recruits by any means. I know you played for the SEC title in 2012, but Texter gets in. This is a really good one. Georgia hasn't played in a New Year's Six Bowl since 08. And I'm double-checking that, and that's right. They played in the Capital One Bowl in 08, and we wouldn't even consider that a New Year's Six Bowl anymore, would we? Now that you have the peach.
Yeah, I think it's still in that group.
I mean,
I think it is still in that group. The Capital One?
At the time, that's elite.
Yeah.
And in 07, they played in one of the BCS Bowls, the Sugar Bowl. But when it's been that long for your program, I can't put you in the elite. That's the main issue for me with Georgia.
You got to give me something else. You got to give me something in the last dozen years. Anything of consequence.
Okay, so we have the Bulldogs in the respected category. Can you give me another one of yours in the respected category for college football programs?
I went Texas.
Yep, I have
okay.
Texas.
Not because of necessarily recent success, obviously, or even recent goodness. And they're just not very good. Texas has been, I mean, over their history, they've been very good. Texas is sort of like this.
I have critiques for Texas as well. Trust me.
Texas went from 00 to 09. They won 10 wins every single year. And then their track record looks like Miami or Tennessee since 2010.
I agree with you. Here's the thing with Texas for me. When you think football, you think Texas. And that's where they get the benefit of the doubt. Is they're one of the premier, most recognized brands in college football, without a doubt. The Hook'em, the Burnt Orange, the flagship school for the biggest state in terms of football. That benefits them. But when you look at Texas's overall history, it's even tough to put them, I think, in the respected category. I got to be honest there. When you don't win a title from 1970 till 2005, and you want to be respected? I just don't get it. Yes, the great run from, like you said, Kwok, 00 to 09 with Vince Young and then Colt McCoy. Really, really good years. Lived in Austin through those years. Actually, you could say Ricky Williams to Colt McCoy, kind of that era because you had a Heisman Trophy winner in Ricky. But between Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams, what did you do? You did nothing. And especially with how you've been lately, with back-to-back 5-7 seasons, I mean, haven't won double-digit games since 2009. Your last four bowls, the Texas Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, the Holiday Bowl, and the Alamo Bowl. It's really tough. I just think the brand, they strike me as a Notre Dame. That's what it is. They're just a brand that is synonymous with college football, and so you have to put them in the respected category. With Notre Dame, at least they've competed for a national title and more recently than Texas. But Texas does still have that relevance in the 2000s. But it's almost tough for me to put them in this category, I got to be honest.
I could certainly see an argument for them not being in, especially since for the last 7 years they finished under 500.
Three
of the last 7 years they haven't been in a bowl game.
They've been absolutely terrible.
But if you're Tom Herman, you just left a good job at Houston to take that Texas job. That puts it into perspective for me.
Does the money matter at all there?
The money does matter.
Oozing out of pockets at the University of Texas.
I think in both respects, you assume that they've achieved more because of the financial resources they have. And you kind of upgrade them a little bit because of the financial resources that they have. You also wonder why they haven't won more because of the financial resources they have. You know what I mean? So I think it works on all aspects there. I'm not a big fan of ignoring the fact that coaches would leave good jobs to take this job. That makes it in my list of 22, that's a top 22 job in the country. That's a respected program. Similarly to that, I've got Notre Dame in here.
As do I.
Notre Dame, even if it was fake and fluke and they shouldn't have been even remotely close, they played for a national title more recently than a lot of teams on this list. They have not been very good of late with a 4-8 last year, but it's not like they've got multiple 4-8s. They went 3-9 with Charlie Weiss, and really as bad as the Charlie Weiss era seems, as bad as we believe it to be, they only had one losing season with Charlie Weiss. It wasn't like they had a whole bunch of them. And Brian Kelly, I mean, they went 12-1 2012, 5 years ago. They were in the national championship game. They've won 10 wins since then. Now, they have that Auburn thing going on a little bit where since 1994, that's a little further than Auburn. So that's, 22 seasons. They've only finished with double-digit wins four times.
I know.
Two of those have come in the last 5 years.
That's the tough thing with Notre Dame. And just 2 years ago, they played in the Fiesta Bowl. They won 10 games. That was a pretty good year for Notre Dame. That was the monsoon year in Death Valley. And that was a pretty good Notre Dame club that Clemson beat. And I think it's just right up the Texas alley and some with the Georgia alley. Even though you haven't had as much success as of late, you are still a preeminent brand associated with college football. And you get the benefit of the doubt in that regard. And that's just how Notre Dame works. I understand if you don't like that, but you can't change it. They still have 8 national titles. Yes, they haven't won one since 1988, which is a long time. And that's why I couldn't put them in elite by any means, because you haven't been nationally relevant for titles and you haven't won one in William Quackenbush's lifetime. Notre Dame has not won a national title. And that's a long time. No offense. You're not that old. But basically,
Appreciate that. Why Notre Dame.
Notre Dame has the most titles to be in the respected category for me. They have 8, but they haven't won one in the last 3 decades.
Yeah, I mean, just to me, you can live in the past for a little while, and especially with their TV contract, you can live in the past. I still like your example of the USSR, where I need to tear down the wall to the conference. I feel like it's time for it. It's time for it with Notre Dame.
That's both Texas and Notre Dame. They're both in that category. And Texas might be tearing down a wall to leave a conference at this point.
A little bit of that nostalgia, even though they had a better year last year, is Penn State. I have Penn State in a respected category.
And how do I put this? I respect your selection of Penn State. They did not make my list.
Okay.
Penn State did not make my list.
I have a little bit deeper list than you do. So there are going to be some that made my list that didn't make yours. Why did you leave them off?
Yeah, I guess mine was a little harder to get on. I don't know. I think I was a little more critical of some programs. Trust me, I understand the the nostalgia factor with Penn State and the tradition that you have at Penn State. And maybe part of it for me is the scandal.
It
just leaves a bad taste in my mouth about Penn State, and it's tough for me to put them up there. I do think it's good for college football when Penn State is good. I'll admit that. And I think last year having them win the Big Ten was really fun. But I can't ignore that in 15 they went 7-6. They went 7-6 the year before, 7-5 the year before, 8-4. They just haven't won 11 games or really multiple digit games since 09 before this year. And that's a big drought. I know the scandal hit and all that. And I know they have national titles, but Penn State also kind of falls into the Texas and Notre Dame category for me.
Yeah, to me, that like their downturn at the end of Paterno with the scandal, it wasn't as bad as the downturn in some other programs. That stood out to me when I was making this list. They don't have a losing season when they transition from a legendary. Their last losing season was in 2004. They went 4-7. They don't have that. They finished in the top 10 in the country four times in the last dozen years. There's a lot of programs on this respected list that don't say that, and that haven't had a plummet. They had some plummeting with Paterno. And then I remember 05 when he went 11-1. Everybody said he was washed up because they had gone 7-16 mm-hmm. in the two previous years. I remember that football team and how much fun it was when Penn State won again. I understand that it was a long gap between 09 and 16, winning double-digit games. But in there were some severe sanctions
yep.
put on the program there. They have made a bowl game now, eligible for bowl games, every year since 2005.
How about this? What do you think about this argument? Penn State and Texas have had similar trajectories in that last time they were really relevant was 09, and now Penn State is back. We're not sure about Texas, but that gap, that 09 to 2016 gap, was there for both programs. And take the scandal out of it, I felt like during that gap, during those 5 and 7 years, we paid attention to Texas and we forgot Penn State. That was how I felt about it. Texas was still a relevant brand in the college football world, and Penn State wasn't. To me, it takes Penn State winning for people to really care. It takes Texas just putting a team on the field for people to care.
Would you agree that people felt dirty watching Penn State?
Yeah. It's also the scandal part. You can't just overlook it. I mean, of course, Baylor was nowhere near on my list, but that hurts. It hurts a team like Baylor as well. It makes people not want to root for you, and it makes you just not as relevant as you would have been if you hadn't had these scandals.
I feel like if you like said that Penn State was going to win a game, you kind of ducked.
Yeah.
You know,
or if
like
you said
it was
anything positive
weird.
About Penn State.
Because it's been two coaches now. Like the sanctions are over. That is in the past. Now, their fans also didn't help by handling it in the worst possible way. And then this past year, you had the statue controversy. Where they're trying to build a statue of Joe Paterno with the lingering effects still kind of hovering over the program. I mean, I think that does make it difficult. I felt like there was more consistency in Penn State than a lot of other programs I put on this list, and so I wanted to reward them for the excellence in the past and then the consistency they showed in what... I mean, look, if Miami had gone on a state slide, they would have gone like 4-8, you know? Like if some of these other programs, this one looks more like Georgia.
I mean, Miami did have a scandal of their own.
They did.
It wasn't to the, you know, I guess to the degree of the Penn State scandal.
They had some losing season. Al Golden, yeah. Randy Shannon, they had some rough years.
As they say when it's NCAA tournament time, Penn State was on my first four out. First four out.
That's tough. That's really tough. I had no one. I kept everybody in.
You really did.
Yeah, I'm a little
snowflake. You combined the NCAA tournament and the NIT and made your bracket.
I had a little snowflake list. This hour of the program brought to you by Custom Collision of Anderson. Nobody wants to be in a car accident. But when you do, I'd rather go with somebody to do the towing and the work on the vehicle that has all kinds of experience dealing with the problems and also wants to treat me like family. I just want somebody that's going to relieve some of the stress. It's just going to relieve some of the stress from the unfortunate circumstance that I find myself in because of bad drivers all over the place, not including me. They're going to work with your insurance company to make sure that your solutions are, this is the best company I've ever seen in this towing, repair business and working with your insurance company. They're going to make it the best that it could possibly be. I've never seen anything like this. You don't believe me? Go see for yourself. They're going to lower the cost for you. They're going to tow the vehicle right to their facility. It's unbelievable. Ask Ben Milstead about it. He knows the deal. Call Custom Collision of Anderson today if you need him. 231-6900. That's 231-6900. 4490 Liberty Highway in Anderson. Short break. We'll come back. Final segment, hour two. More college football coming up next.
As a business, you want a clean facility for your customers, your staff, and your guests. Turn to the best in the industry, Jan Pro. You are hiring a company whose staff is certified, not just trained. They're insured and bonded, and they go through an intense 5-week certification program. They're local business owners growing the local economy, and they can do more than just cleaning. You'll be more than satisfied with the Jan Pro team on your team. You'll be amazed. Call Jan Pro today at 458-3053.
You'll find fireworks on nearly any corner this time of year. But if you want the better color explosions and better selection, Carolina Fireworks is your best bet. Just ask Danny Ford. Family owned and operated for nearly 60 years, Carolina Fireworks is local. They don't appear in some random parking lot twice a year. Shop in air-conditioned comfort with great staff and service. For the best for 4th of July, find Carolina Fireworks locations at carolinafireworks.org. Main warehouse on Old Cedar Rock Road in Easley.
Complete Nutrition just released the most effective weight loss product we've ever created. Plus, it comes with a free 21-day step-by-step program to follow. And we guarantee you success. If you lose more than 21 pounds in the first 21 days, see Complete Nutrition to adjust your plan. Healthy weight loss should not exceed a couple of pounds per week.
Find Complete Nutrition in Greenville on Woodruff Road, in Spartanburg on East Blackstock Road, and in Anderson across from the Harbor Inn on North Main.
It's summertime, and that means outdoor staining with Palmetto Paints. Flood brand exterior stains are available in solid color and semi-transparent products that can be tinted to almost any color. Use it on decks, fences, and siding to beautify and offer years of protection. Trust Flood products to deliver consistent quality results. Available at Palmetto Paints. Now get a $5 per gallon rebate up to 10 gallons through July 8th. Stain the right way at Palmetto Paints at Thornblade Commons next to Marco's Pizza.
There's a lot of confusion about the right steps to take to secure the proper financial plan for your future. Randy Strickland and Greg Wales of Kiowee Financial Group in Clemson can guide you through every step. Their fee-based planning options allow you to invest with transparency and to know where every dollar goes. They offer sound, comprehensive advice with solutions to fit any investing appetite. Call Kiowee Financial at 654-5043 or online at kiowefg.com.
Anything that's made just for you is a perfect fit, right? Like a tailored suit. It fits your measurements. No one else's. That same kind of fit is exactly what Engineered Sleep strives for. A mattress made just for you, built to your sleeping patterns and habits. What could be more important than a good night's rest? Engineered Sleep wants to make it a perfect night's rest. If after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process. Learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there is no middleman. Factory to you! And you can score a significant discount by picking up your mattress instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
Summer is here, so before you put those toes in the water, the Pendleton Tire Company wants to make sure your tires are ready. The Cooper Tire Take the Money and Ride summer event is going on right now through July 15th at the Pendleton Tire Company. Purchase 4 qualifying Cooper tires and get up to a $100 rebate. See Joey Wellborn or Zach Garrison for complete details at the Pendleton Tire Company or give them a call today at 646-3694. Also, check them out at PendletonTire.com.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
I want to love you. B-Y-T. Pretty young thing. You need some loving. B-Y-T. Turn the love and care. And I'll take it there. Girl. I want to love you. B-Y-T. Pretty young.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Kelly Granlick's got a trivia question here for $25 from the Butcher's Block in downtown Anderson on North Main Street that I couldn't get. It took me like 7 guesses to get it right.
Trivia!
Trivia! Trivia, baby! Oh. So you're gonna be I don't know, to get the parameters of the question, it didn't take me quite as long.
It goes with what we've been talking about in our tiers of college football, and it pertains to, I'll give a little hint, national championships.
Along
those regards.
Yes. James from Greenville brings up an interesting point. I will go back to this with Georgia. And I'll go at Georgia fans on this one. What is my one rule with college football coaching hires and fire? What is my one rule?
Never fire a 9-win coach.
Never, ever.
Ever.
Has it ever in the history of ever worked to fire a 9-win coach in hopes of getting better? You stick with that guy. Maybe you never win a championship ever as long as he lives. Or she. Because this could be in other sports as well. Never fire the 9-win. You don't do it. South Carolina baseball is kind of teetering there. Although yeah. That program is a little break. You don't fire successful coaches even if they're not quite as successful as you think that they might should be. You don't fire 9-win coaches. Maryland's still smarting from firing Ralph Friedgen, who won 9 games.
Especially when those coaches have established a culture of winning at your program. And they haven't plateaued at 9 by any means. They've won SEC titles. They've almost played for national titles. They've won 10, 11, 12, 13 games. Then that adds even more to the rule. That makes it almost impossible to do what Georgia did.
James from Greenville says, how can you make a case for keeping Rick than talk about not winning anything? That's exactly why we fired him. And it's a little early to dub Kirby an 8-win coach after 1 season. He won 8 games. He's had 1 year. He's won 8 games. He's an 8-win coach. He's not a 9-win coach. And I'm just going off the track record that says never in history has it worked. Tommy Bowden was not a 9-win coach. He was a 7-8-win coach. When he was fired, every time I bring this up, somebody has to bring that up. I feel like we should talk about this once a week, just so I can go ahead and kind of like in the Who's On First. You've seen the Who's On First skit, where eventually Abbott and Costello are going back and forth, and they just go, third base, because they know what's coming. Like, I'll just throw out, and by the way, Tommy Bowden was not a 9-win coach. Even Bobby Bowden at the end, not a 9-win coach. People bring up Jimbo. Bobby Bowden, not a 9-win. They just weren't. They were not 9-win coaches. Frank Solich at Nebraska, 9-win coach. Bill Callahan, fired. Bo Pelini, fired. But he won 9 or 10 ball games. So now you got Mike Riley, who's now winning 9 games. Not consistently, anyway. Now, he could end up getting Nebraska back there. The point is, you don't do it. You don't fire a 9-win coach. Texas, Mack Brown, 9-win coach, winning double-digit games. Now, that program is slipping a little bit, but you end up firing the next guy. You don't go from winning 9 games to national championships. That's not what happens in a program. You generally fire the next guy. Steve Spurrier. You go to Ron Zook. You don't hire Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer after Steve Spurrier. Ohio State kind of got lucky because they had Jim Tressel, and then they had a year where they had Luke Fickell, so they got Urban Meyer that fell into their lap.
And we've talked about this with Georgia, too. It's less of an issue of you fired a guy who you thought couldn't get you to a certain point, and it's more of an issue of you think you should be at this point, and your history and tradition indicates that maybe you shouldn't expect to be there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. The expectations are outsized based on the history of the program.
Georgia has Alabama-sized expectations, but they're not Alabama.
True. It's all very true. I know why, because you have no other choice, but I don't see the rationale for thinking that Kirby Smart is going to. That was my whole thing about hiring him in the first place. Over time, is Kirby Smart going to be a better coach than Mark Richt? Basically, all Georgia fans wanted was not Mark Richt, and then they didn't have Mark Richt, and they're like, crap, there's no one out here that's better than Mark Richt.
There is a time in sports when a coach does outstay his welcome. I mean, we've seen that.
Yes.
And so sometimes it does make sense because it just seems like the parting is amicable. It's time to happen. There hasn't been a national title. There hasn't been a lot of sustained success in recent seasons. And maybe it's just time to part ways.
Guess,
but I still stand by your rule.
Guess who won more games than Georgia last year? Miami.
A lot of
Mark
people,
Rick's new team went 9-4. Georgia went 8-5. You could argue Miami was in a tougher division and a tougher league and played a tougher schedule. I am as off the Kirby Smart bandwagon as a person can be. Unbelievable. 654 roars the number if you want to get in. 654-7627 on the Northern Communication phone lines as hour two wraps up here. A couple other names maybe on these lists. I have Oklahoma State on here. We've had questions about it. Let's just go ahead and knock it out. Oklahoma State, in terms of success, championships, trophies, just doesn't have a lot, either in their history, recent history, or like history, way back in school history. They hadn't done a whole lot. But the consistency with which they've won, nobody wants to talk about this because he's been in Bob Stoops' shadow, but Mike Gundy has won at least 9 games in the last, what is it? He went 4-7, 6-7, 7-6, and then figured it out. 9-9, 11-12, 8-10, 7-10. What is that? 4 of the last 8 years or something? 5 of the last, 6 of the last 9? 4 of the last 8, that was stupid. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the last 9 years. They've won 9 or more games.
Mike Gundy is the king of this type of season, okay? You ready?
Uh-huh.
Oklahoma State won 10 games? How? Who'd they beat? What? Yeah. I mean, that's literally, when you look back at Oklahoma State's records over the past, decade or 2 decades?
Yes.
You just look at these years and you go, they won 11 games in 2010? They won 12 games in 2011? How did they do that? They won 9 in 08? He's the king of that situation. And I'll give you that credit. And, of course, being in Bob Stoops' shadow and Oklahoma State just in their nature being the ultimate little brother in college sports, I understand that. However, I could not put them in here, and I'll tell you the reason why, and it's going to come back to bite me with another one of my teams, and I get that. But again, what do I value the most, Kwok? Like you said, trophies.
Championships.
National championships.
Trophies.
And my Oklahoma State did almost play for one in, I believe it was 2011. What year was that, Kwok? When they lost up at... They lost up at some no-name school.
2011, they lost at Iowa State.
Yes.
On a Friday night.
Exactly.
Yep, 2011.
So they were relevant that year. But to me, with Oklahoma State, is they just appear to be a one-trick pony. They literally were never relevant before the Mike Gundy era at all.
Yes.
I mean, when you look back at their history, before Mike Gundy, they had won 10 games 3 times in the history of Oklahoma State football. And it's hard for me to forgive that. So if you're a one-trick pony, if you seem to have, even though Mike Gundy has had sustained success, if you seem to have caught lightning in a bottle with one coach, I don't trust you enough to put you in my respected category because I've only seen you do it under one coach. And you do win 10 games most years, but you don't do it impressively. And you always kind of sneak into that 10-win situation. I just don't buy the Cowboys in my respected category.
Who's there? Who's the one coach that's had the most success?
At Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
Mike Gundy.
Okay, who's their coach right now?
Mike Gundy.
Okay, you're in the respected category. If you're in the middle of that run, if Bobby Bowden was coaching Florida State in 1997, they've only had one coach. Florida State's only had one coach. At that point in time, they only had one coach. They would have been elite.
All right,
respected.
But they had national titles.
They did.
And Heismans.
Sure. I'm just saying that if you're in it right now, I'm looking at 2017. They've got the best coach in the history of their school. They've got a roster that's supposed to compete to win the thing. And here's another one. Here's another one for you. You know, I'm not discounting history, but if I can look back at your whole history for 100 years and the last 10 years have been better than that, I'm going to weigh the last 10 more than the last 100 when there were 15 schools playing. Even when there were 15 schools playing, when they joined the Big Eight in 1960, mm-hmm. They weren't ranked in a final poll until 1976. Oklahoma State has only been ranked in its history since joining the Big Eight in 1960, which is, what is that, 56 years?
Mm-hmm.
They've only been ranked 11 times.
You just made my point. Here's a better point. If you want to talk respected, they have only been ranked in the top 10 since 1960 in a final AP poll twice.
How many of those for Gundy?
Twice. Once for Mike Gundy.
Once for Gundy. So he's got half of the top 10s.
Still.
And I'll go ahead and tell you.
That's not enough for me.
He's got six. No. Yeah, he's got six of the ranked seasons.
Well,
six
of
the 11.
Hey, way to go.
In the 50 years previous.
11 ranked seasons.
They were ranked 5 times in 50 years. He's been ranked 6 times in 10 years. In 9 years. Yeah, if you're like breaking ground at your school, if you're doing stuff that's never been done before, that's respected. You're respected in my book. That's a if they weren't respected, they wouldn't be getting some college football playoff love this year. They were doing that before Bob Stoops stepped down.
All right,
they are a respected program.
I'm just going to get my next one out of the way because it makes no sense after I just ripped you for Oklahoma State.
Uh-huh.
But I put them on there, and I think you have them, and I put Stanford.
Yeah, Stanford.
Yeah. And it's
tough
because, I mean, they're respected. They've done it under two coaches, all right, Jim Harbaugh and David Shaw, but they really have only had success in the past 7 years.
Hey, do you want to give the trivia question before we go to break?
Oh, yes. Let me do that real quick.
Okay, and then we'll talk about Stanford on the other side.
All right, trivia question. Here we go. Three current Pac-12 programs have each won only one national title. So just one, not multiple. Name two of those three current Pac-12 programs that can claim one national title, not more, not less, just one. Call in with the answer. We'll get you in after the commercial break.
Two of the three gets you $25 to the Butcher's Block in Anderson. We'll do that when hour three comes around next.
Broadcasting from the Blue Ridge Securities.